Hey, Latasha, how are you, girl?
You know, if you know what, before COVID, we're going to figure out the art of clapping.
It's usually me, let's be honest. It's usually me that messes it all up.
There's some interesting clap thing going on, but I'm good. I'm good.
I know, right? We get it. We've been there. Beautiful, difficult, hilarious, and gut-wrenching. These are the stories and struggles of being a woman in today's culture and how we grow in the midst of trying to grow up.
IKR is hosted by Allie Patterson and Latasha Patrick and is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.
So I have a topic for us today, and it came from a friend. Are you ready for this?
Do I have to? I mean, come on. You know, I'm in no matter what.
I'm totally going to hit you with it, even if you're not.
I know you are.
So
go ahead.
You're always good. I'm talking to a younger friend of mine who is actively dating. And she was telling me, which, of course, somebody who's been married as long as I have, which is a really long time, I was not really aware of what in the world the dating situation has started to feel like in the middle of all of, I'll say, the global pandemic, the restrictions of all varieties in all different places, and then also, even in places that are loosening up, the anxiety of coming around people that you don't know where they've been. And she made me laugh. She said, I'm not sure this is the time to be kissing strangers. I'm just not really sure that this is the right moment in time to be doing that. So she
ever was a time to kiss strangers, but this is not.
So you're single, and I brought a friend into our recording today who I'm going to introduce to you in just a second.
But okay, cool.
You're single. Are you thinking That's about true. This? Can you give me the lowdown on this? Because I just thought this was a great topic for us to get into.
Thank you for reminding me that I am single. And thank you for bringing this topic up to only remind me that I'm also, there's not even a candidate. So this will be this is great for my ego.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate that. It's okay. No. Keep going. What else you got? What else do you want to say about me?
So you're not.
What? What else, Allie?
No, listen. Are you meeting people online? Right now?
I am not meeting anybody online at all. Nope. I am not actively online dating. I'm not doing anything. That doesn't mean that I don't want to date. So if you know someone, do you know anybody? How come you've never fixed me up, Allie?
Good question. I'm going to have to think about that. Okay. You know what? The one guy that I would fix you up with is married, so that won't work.
It actually will not work.
But it would be a great match, man. It would be. Well, but sorry.
If only not for that wife. Continue. This is terrible.
I want you to meet
your friend.
I want you to meet my friend. Her name's Bronwyn Lee. She's written a book called Beyond Awkward Side Hugs. And she's sort of my go-to. She's sort of my go-to gal when it comes to male-female relationships. Bronwyn, it's great to have you.
We're totally excited to have you.
Usually I say to people, it's great to be here, but I've got to say, I'm stepping in with a little trepidation. I don't know whether I need to, put my mediator hat on or my girlfriend hat on or give a whole bunch of fine print. So with a little asterisk, I'm really glad to be here.
Okay, good.
Great. I probably need a side hug.
You're definitely not out there kissing strangers. We've already established that.
No, again, Allie. Again, no, I'm not. Okay? Kissing no one.
Funny. So, Bronwyn, why don't you just give us a little introduction. Tell us who you are, where you are, because you're nowhere near where we are right now. And tell us about your book. Like, what did you think when I called you and said, hey, would you join us? I think you have something to say in the middle of this weird dating situation that a lot of our friends are in right now.
Okay, so I'm Bronwyn Lee. I talk funny because I'm from South Africa. I've been in the States for about 16 years. Mm-hmm. I'm married. I have 3 kids. I have been in vocational ministry for most of my life in various capacities. I also work with Propel Women as a ministry to equip and empower women. And I would say that my book, Beyond Awkward Side Hugs, came out of as a result of just 20 years of talking about relationships in my kitchen with students and women, because in just the human life, relationships occupy so much of our energy and time. When they're, you know, they're like the little curl in the middle of the forehead. When they're good, they're really, really good, and they take up all of our happy mental space. And when they're wrong, when they're bad, they're really, really bad, and they can be the cause of some of our biggest heartaches and headaches and frustrations. Mm-hmm. And our relational life is really not separate from our discipleship life or our faith life. They really are integrated, because community is how we're meant to live and grow. And so the question of how we relate to friends or dating, or how we think of family, which are all aspects of male-female relationship, I think is really at the heart of what our life looks like lived out. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of bad advice and incomplete advice out there about how to do this well. And let's just add COVID on top of it to complicate matters, as if it wasn't hard enough already.
Well, can you tell us, what are your favorite learnings as you've had 20 years of kitchen conversations? Like, what direction, without COVID, without the complication of this in our dating lives, what are the biggest things that you think are missing?
I think the longer that I've been having these conversations and doing reading, I just realized how dominant this idea is, not just in the church, but in the world at large, that the most important thing about me as a woman is that I meet and marry my romantic partner. Like, that's the goal of life. It's the Disney princess story. It's the story of our love songs and our TV plots, and it carries over into the church. You know, you as a woman need to meet and marry and have kids, and that's going to be your thing. And everything else is extra. Friendship is great. Community is great. But your romantic partner has been sort of the most celebrated and accented part of how we've talked about maleness and femaleness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about sex, and it has a lot to say about marriage, and those are good gifts, but it has so much more to say about community and love and maleness and femaleness than just that one aspect of it. And so what I really have realized is that story that we hear about sort of this is what it is to be male and female is incomplete, and it is wrongly emphasized. Hmm. Because it's missing out on a whole bunch of things. And this is important not just for single people and widowed people or LGBTQ people to know that we belong to a bigger story than just who you're attracted to and who you're getting with. Mm-hmm. It's really important for marriage as well, because marriage is kind of like, if you're supposed to date in community, really surely be married in community. Mm-hmm. We marry to serve the bigger family of God. And so the big thing that I just keep on coming back to in conversation and in scripture is that the family of God is bigger and more primary than the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And again and again, I feel scripture saying, what does this look like in practice? Mm-hmm. What does it look like in practice to live as if the family of God and our being men and women are part of it is central to our identity and purpose and mission? And the nuclear family needs to find its place within that narrative.
What do you think the focus of dating really is today? Like, where are the big conflicts that you, as you talk to people, that you see because of the wrong emphasis or the incomplete story that we are kind of told about?
I think it's really untrue and unfair to expect people to look for all of their meaning or their ultimate relationship and connection in just one person. Mm-hmm. That's a really unfair expectation to put on any relationship. And the Kellers talk about that in The Meaning of Marriage. Like, marriage is not meant to bear the weight of being our all in all. And if we date with some kind of expectation that it's going to go in that way, gosh, that's an unbearable weight. Then we live in a world that really has this idea that the way that you really test your long-term compatibility is by feeling out your sexual compatibility. And even if you are in a worldview where you think, no, that's not the right place to locate sex, you're still trying to navigate a world where people expect that this is how you're going to test it. And so as a Christian, that's really difficult as well. And then there's sort of just the legacy, I think, of Christian culture and the dating culture, purity culture, which also wants you to know all the things before you take the first step. So it's almost as if you need to know if someone's going to be a marriage candidate before you go out to coffee for the first time, and that you shouldn't be talking to someone or having a first conversation because you don't want to lead anybody on. So somehow we're supposed to know the outcomes, all the potential outcomes of how it could work out with people without ever having talked to them or got to know them yet.
Yeah.
And that feels impossible to navigate. So,
Latasha, does any of that ring true for you?
Allie, I love you. Well, you know, it probably does, but, and Bronwyn wouldn't know this, but I'm a little bit older, and I have an 18-year-old daughter that I've raised alone for the 18 years. And so when I think about dating, I really did, and I took I don't know if it was a planned hiatus, I'll call it a planned hiatus, from dating for probably, you know, it was God's planned hiatus. It was probably not mine. To not date for, it's probably been, I don't know, 12 years or so. But all of that does ring true. When you were talking, I started joking like, oh, so in my brain I was joking that I should not plan my wedding on the first date is what you're saying. That's not, you're not allowed to do that, right? You don't, I mean, it requires some getting to know people. And it's okay, it sounds like it's okay to actually, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like it might be okay to date, kind of just to date, not to date. It's not to lead anybody on, but it takes more than one date to understand if this person is the person at all. And so I know that there is a culture that where people would say you only date to marry, and if you're not trying to marry the person, you shouldn't date them. But how do you know with just a profile online kind of thing? You have to poke around. At the person, and you know.
Well, I want to hit you with a couple of things that my friend was saying to me, and it really feeds right into some of these things that you're talking about. First of all, there's an incredible focus on online dating right now, because that's it. Everything else is closed. Mm-hmm. There's no, or at least it has been for the past few months, and it might be again. And so she was describing this intense focus in online dating, how it naturally falls short to meet people like that, but it's the only avenue that we have during this period of time. So, Bronwyn, my question for you is that all bad?
My perspective is infuriatingly, it depends. I mean, I think I get asked, I got asked a lot before pandemic, well, what do you think of dating? Is dating good or bad? And my answer to that is similar. Well, it depends, you know, like dating is just the vehicle that we in our moments in history, in our culture use to put people in relationship. It's how we get to know one another. And it's like driving, right? You can do it well or you can do it badly, you know, like driving is morally neutral, and I think dating is morally neutral as well. You can do it well or you can do it badly. And I would say the same thing of apps and online dating. Like it's a way to do it, and so we can do it well or we can do it badly. I think, though, that there are some hidden gifts in this, maybe in the way that there might have been for long-distance letter-writing relationships 100 years ago when people went away to college or went away to war. Like there's... there's an adjustment to a different pacing of things, and that's frustrating and that's hard, and absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence is hard, but the heart growing fonder is good. You know, like that's a good test of things. And I wonder if there isn't a hidden gift in this. You know, when I was at seminary many years ago, our principal at the Bible College, when he was talking to us about dating, he said, you know, in all of the students that I've counseled, I have discovered that once they start to get physically closer and intimate, often they stop getting to know each other in other ways. Because every date, you know, that might begin with some joint activity, some service that you're doing together, some conversation, at some point lands up with you in the car making out or more. And at that point, you stop talking. And even the beginnings of your dates and the beginnings of your conversations are now oriented towards how long is it going to take until we get to the kissing part. and where are we going to land up, you know? And it just becomes focused in that way. And so his advice was, you know, keep getting to know one another emotionally, mentally, spiritually, without letting whatever physical thing that you're planning to explore in a healthy, holy way, hijack the process. And I wondered that for a long time about email relationships or letter writing relationships, but I think it's true of Zoom or apps right now, is that there's an opportunity when we take the physical connection off the table for us to say, oh, maybe we have time to have a longer conversation because we don't have to worry about whether this date is going to end in kissing. And maybe the hidden gift is that we get to explore some ideas a little further, have some longer conversations. We can pace it differently. And it might be frustrating, but there might be some good fruit that comes from it.
Well, it's interesting. You said you hearkened back to a time where we wrote letters more and connected not face-to-face a little bit differently than we do today, because my friend that I was talking to, she said, I did not realize how much dating was boosting my self-esteem, was kind of picking me up and giving me things that I didn't even know I was getting from it until it all just came to a crashing halt. And I, to me, even though that's painful to realize or to have that hole appear, I think that's what the COVID-19 has kind of done in so many of our lives in so many ways, is just exposed the hole fillers, you know, the stuff that we're using to prop ourselves up.
You know, one of the things that I wrote about in my book is that I don't know how we got to this idea that dating is this whole like other category of marriage for which, or category of relationship for which you need like special skills, special cuteness skills, special flirting skills, whatever the set of skills is in order to be able to date well. And I wanted to push back at that and say, you know, romantic relationship skills are still the same set of relationship skills that that work in every other aspect of life. If you have what it takes to be a good friend and a good partner and a good teammate, you have what it is to be a good date. And one of the gifts maybe of this season is that it reminds us that if you can have a conversation, it kind of doesn't matter how cute your smile is when everybody's wearing a face mask, but everybody can test whether we're having a good conversation. And in a way, that is such a healthy redirect towards calibrating our expectations for long-term relationship, because when you imagine your life together as a married person, like maybe you imagine the photos of your wedding day or the photos, you know, we imagine it in still shots, right? Mm-hmm. What we don't imagine is sitting in a house for 4 months in tennis shoes, the old ones with someone, right? So much of married life is not about the face-to-face happy moments, but just the side-by-side slog through life. And so there's something about this, we're going to have to talk, we're going to have to be less cute, we're going to have to talk physically distanced and just take a walk. That really is truer to life about how real partnerships are formed and real trust is built.
So let me hit you ladies with some questions. And these are kind of fun and specific, so you don't, you know, don't feel like you have to answer with a big... One of the big challenges that was expressed to me several times as I talked to these young women was... when you're in person, you get a lot more feedback. Like you can read people a lot better. And because we're missing some of those cues, having to interact online or more on text or on the phone, you just don't have as much information. So there's a struggle on how do you know how to push the relationship forward? Like, do you just small talk? You know, it's easy to just leave it in the land of like, get to know each other, small talk. And it felt like they were sort of asking, how do we move to the next place if all we have access to is Zoom or FaceTime or texting or whatever? Is that even possible? Maybe it's not even possible. I thought I'd throw that out to you ladies and say, are you destined to stay in the land of small talk? And if not, how do you move out of that?
I think you just have to grow some conversational muscle. I really do. I think, you know, just like when you lose, when you injure an arm or, you know, the rest of your body becomes more attuned, you know, or people say when they they lose their sense of sight. Their hearing dials in. I think when we lose the ability to have body language for feedback, it means we need to pay more attention to our words. And humans are capable and adaptable and flexible and resilient, and we long for connection and community. And so I have every confidence that people will continue to find a way to get to know one another. They just can't rely on the distraction of a cell phone or of body language or a nervous giggle. We're actually going to have to do some work. But all of those skills serve us well in the long term.
It actually reminds me, the last time I did date was long distance. And I mean, that was really our connection was over the phone. And after a while, although I thought it was super nerdy, we would plan breakfast dates. So we would like eat breakfast on Zoom. And this is before it was all the rage, or not, it wasn't Zoom. It would have been FaceTime or whatever, but it was before it was all the rage. But what I did appreciate during that time is I really got a chance to know the person a lot, because we saw each other fairly infrequently on a very regular basis, but it was not every day or every other day or even once a week. It does help you to get to know a person, and you can really only small talk for so long until you're really, I can only small talk for so long until I'm really kind of ready to not engage anymore. Mm-hmm. So
I really like breakfast FaceTime. Because let's be honest, if you, let's just say that you've made the decision in your life, you're not going to be sleeping with people and spending the night. I know not tons of people make that decision right now. Right. I get that. Yeah. But let's just say that you did. And I'm not going to be having sex and sleeping over. Yeah. Breakfast is very telling. How you begin your day is so interesting. It's not a piece of you. It's not a piece of someone's day you have early access to, especially especially if you've decided that you're not going to be spending the night. And so what did you learn? Like, just out of curiosity, was it fun to learn? That's a great idea. That's an interesting dating idea. Breakfast FaceTime.
Why not? Fun. I mean, we each made our own breakfast and we sat down at the same time and we said a prayer and we ate and we did all the, you know, normal things that you would do during breakfast. You ate and laughed and whatever. I just didn't get a chance to take a bite of his food, which I probably would have normally done.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I'm a fan. I think that's a great dating idea. Breakfast FaceTime, because that is really how you, I just think how you're willing to like come to the table and what you eat and how you start your day is, it can be very telling. Maybe that's an example of something interesting and fun that you wouldn't normally think of. I love that.
Don't you think though, that it's true that we discover new parts of a person when we see them in different contexts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
You know, I have a group of friends that we used to see each other in person a lot. Then at some point we moved far away and we began texting. And then that was a new aspect of relationship, you know, to move to texting. And at some point we moved to Marco Polo and we've stayed connected, but we've learned different things about one another in each of those shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's true of all relationships, and it can be true of dating, that if we change format, if we change time of day, you know, maybe you're a morning person. You're a totally different date at 7 a.m. to what you would be at 7 p.m.
Latasha.
That is actually like a really cool thing to discover. It's not that this time of separation just means we can't communicate. It means we get a chance to see people in a different light.
Yeah,
I am discovering after all of these years of marriage, different sides of my husband. It's one of the things that I love about eating dinner with new people is that they ask new questions. And then he says new things that I haven't heard him say. And so there is some invitation in the switch up for us to explore different sides of every relationship that we may not otherwise have got.
Okay, ladies, what if you're somebody who's discovered that you were really using dating the wrong way? You take a pause, take a breather, like, you know, recollect yourself, deal with your new feelings. I mean, what would you say to the daters out there that have hit the ground with a big thud and gone like, whoa, I probably wasn't doing this very well?
I would say if you are using anything the wrong way, abusing anything, you should stop. And maybe get into community with people. You should probably ask why. What was it about dating what was the hole that it filled?
Mm-hmm.
And what should be filling that hole? What's the thing that it was taking the place of?
Dating is no different from the rest of our discipleship life. When you realize, oh, because of COVID, because of some interruption, because of something, we realize, oh, I've been doing this wrong. I've made a mistake. I mean, to use the classic language, we're invited to confession, repentance, and growth, right? So, I mean, we don't have to use the super spiritual language, but to say, oh, I realize I have been serving some wrong end, meeting some need illegitimately. I'm confessing that. God is giving me a new perspective, and community is so important for helping us process some of these things and develop a better plan going forward. But it's not like, oh, we're all in 100% on dating, then we realize, oh, we're doing it wrong, we stop, and then we get in. This is the process. We're always doing something at least a little bit long. We're wrong. We're always, you know, always yes. needing to rein in our inner heretic in theology yeah. or relationships or life, whatever the case may be. And so those moments of self-awareness where we realize this isn't working, or I'm seeing something that isn't good and isn't right, is really an invitation from the Holy Spirit to to pay attention to that and to follow into a path of health.
I can tell you how it sounded literally, because I wrote down some of the things that she said because I was so struck by them. As I was talking to my friend, she was saying things like, I used to feel like I'm a good catch and now I'm not so sure. Or I've gained 10 pounds because I can't go to the gym, and I don't want to post any new pictures of myself on my dating profiles. But now I feel like a fraud. Like, so, and then she was talking about having to confront fears that even though she wasn't meeting the right people, at least she was trying. And right now fears are surfacing because she can't meet anybody new or isn't meeting anybody new. And she's realizing that these terrible fears she had were being kind of, she was dealing with her fear of being alone by just dating. Because
and it's so good.
Because
that is so good.
Even though they weren't the right people, she felt like at least I'm out there trying to deal, and it was keeping just enough in there to keep her from recognizing, oh, I am afraid to be alone. So anyway, were some of the things that it sounded like to me as we were talking.
I would really want to encourage her. This time might feel like a waste or a loss in the dating world because there's so little you can do. But I hope that with some perspective, she can look at this and say, gosh, this was really, really valuable. Mm-hmm. Like, this time is not wasted. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, bad dates, bad relationships, or times of confronting ugly expectations mm-hmm. about ourselves, like, this is not wasted. This is really good, valuable work for us to do. And that's part of the gift of relationship and part of the gift of relating, is that we're getting to know ourselves and the people around us. And so realizing, oh, this was really feeding my ego. Oh, I have some body shame issues tied up to this. Oh, I was looking to this as my goal in life. Like, whatever mirror the Holy Spirit would hold up to us in this time, that's not wasted time in dating. That is really
so
fruitful.
Mm-hmm. And dating or anything else during this time where we all feel a little bit in the dark, whatever God is holding up to us, I want that. Like, it's painful, but I've said to God, even for myself during this time, I've said, whatever you're doing in me and around me, I want in on it. Like, I don't want to miss it, because I know ultimately that you are for me, you know. And so I think a lot of times we just struggle to believe that God is really for us, especially when we're in the dark about something, or something is painful or stops in our life that we want or whatever. But I think I can at least start in a place where I can say, man, I believe that God is for me. So even when I have to go through the cave, you know, and not understand what he's doing, I'm game for that, because I've seen a repetitive thing in my life where it lands in a better spot at some point mm-hmm. in time. So
that's the work, isn't it? Right. That's the work of not numbing or looking away, or just saying, oh, well, I'm going to push pause on life or on dating or my feelings until the pandemic is over. But mm-hmm. of leaning in, of showing up, of saying, God, you are at work and I trust your best for me in community, mm-hmm. in relationship, in identity. and having the courage to do that work and believing that he will bear good fruit. And I think that the church just has such an opportunity for us to recalibrate and to think about how we love one another well in this new framework. I've seen some really beautiful things come out of friendship and small groups and community. And I believe we'll see good things come out of marriage and dating too from mm-hmm. this time as people lean into that work. I have every confidence that God can work COVID-19 for good as he has done in every other circumstance.
Totally agree.
That's a good word. I think that's it. God will work COVID-19 for his good. And he's not wasting this time. Right. I like that too. So
I think that's...
Don't forget that, you guys.
I know.
I'd actually love to hear how people feel like God is using this time to work for good in their lives, whether they're dating or single or married or sitting at home with the little or not, whatever the thing is. I think that'd be really interesting. Don't you, Allie?
I would love to have people
respond to us.
Yes, I would love to hear what God is doing in any of you. You can always share it with us on Instagram, or you can email podcasts@crossroads.net, and it'll make its way to us. But I don't want to wrap things up today without mentioning Bronwyn's amazing book.
I was just going to say, I wish I had your book, but I bet I can find it on, my iPad if I go to Amazon. Is that right?
Tell us where we can buy this book, please.
It's available all the places that books are sold. So Beyond Great. Awkward Side Hugs is the name of the book. My last name is spelled L-E-A, and it's at Barnes & Noble, on Kindle, on Audible, online retailers. I think you can get it from Target.
Awesome.
Where books are sold, I think is the line I'm supposed to say. And if you go to beyondawkwardsidehugs.com, you can also read more about it and I think download the first chapter.
Awesome. Beyondawkwardsidehugs.com. You heard it here. Mm-hmm. That is a URL that was definitely not taken when you went to look for it, right?
I can't imagine why not.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so
much. So good
much.
Meeting
thank
you, Bronwyn. So I'm glad that Allie knew you and introduced you to us. Mm-hmm. You're awesome.
I am thrilled to be here. And I hope that after this episode, just a number of your readers send the resumes and letters of worthy candidates for Allie to introduce to you, Latasha, since she has so publicly spotlighted your dating profile. She better do some work.
Thank you. Happy to work on your behalf down that road anytime. So
I would actually accept it. It's all good.
Great.
And you know what? If God does not do that, there's always... I was going to say there's always French lip, but that sounds really not... It doesn't really sound...
No.
There's always other stuff. Sorry. Goodbye, y'all.
Bye.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at @IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.